You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
Hello, Dojo Disciples. This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, Denchi Mail Edition, where every other week we supplement our regular episodes with answers to your video game questions and talk about the latest releases of the Famicom Dojo video web series.
This week we are back to talk about the Summer Dojo 2016, answer your questions, including one about a console that has controllers too small for human hands. Hey, Vink.
Hey, Sean.
It's,
Man. Yeah.
It's been a little while, eh?
I know.
This is our first new podcast since the end of April that we recorded something.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That is a long time.
It is.
I guess we didn't do anything during that time. We just took a vacation.
Nothing at all.
Spent all that podcast money we've been making.
Oh yeah. I spent it on some floppy green money hats.
Yes, and you know, once that podcast money ran out, you know, I guess we have to make more now.
It's the only reason we're back is for the moolah.
For the moolah. The only reason anybody podcasts.
It's so lucrative.
It's for the money. You know, we really should get a sponsor or a patron or whatever.
Yeah, or a Kickstarter.
Or a microphone cable.
It has been so long. So what we did actually do was the Summer Dojo, while everyone else had a break. We were working hard for you in video form. So not so much the audio only stuff. But also during that time, I decided it would be a good idea to buy a house and move.
Good job, Sean.
Thank you. Yeah, that's all done now, but. Part of my problem is that I am missing some equipment. So I have to pull some things together before we do another episode, I believe. My windscreen is missing. Well, it's not missing, it's just broken. So if there's too many P's and fluffs and whatever, that's the reason. Sorry.
I told you not to move, Sean.
I know.
This is really bad for the podcast.
It's terrible. I'm very sorry.
All right.
But what else did we do? I mean, we did
what
something.
What did we do?
Yeah.
We did... Hold on. Let me count these.
Let me count.
What did we do? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. We did 18 videos.
Really?
Two of them were promos.
Okay.
And one of them was, like, actually throwing it off to a video that we helped our good friend Derek do. But we did about 15 like brand new videos of varying quality and reception.
I was going to say, were they real videos though? I mean,
no. You know, hold on, let me count the real videos.
Oh, sure,
because
sure.
that's the criteria. I would say that the no, that's not real. My sumo one? No. It's sort of real. It's a fable at this point. No, it's a legend.
You know how the viewers hate it when we don't do real videos. I mean, all those fake ones we spend that time on. I mean, why even bother?
Yep. I would say the Super Game Boy 2 was a real video. I'd say JRA Pat was a real video. Well, it's not an episode.
God.
It feels so terrible
we ever called it.
Guys, we regret. Wow, what marriage? Okay, so anyway, we regret early on how we called things episode one, episode two, because later we branched off into doing all kinds of different things, and like some of these things are like almost every single video we did for the Summer Dojo is longer than any video in our first season of Famicom Dojo.
Mm-hmm.
But because of mythical naming conventions, the first comment we usually get on most of our videos is, "When are you going to do a real video?"
I know.
Oh, man.
Well,
I don't know, but the thing is, I I get it. I get it. It's our own fault because we have this playlist called Season 1, Season 2, and the Season 2 playlist hasn't had a new video in like 5 years. So
right, and then there's now we have like Train Your Game, Dench Email, Stuff Vink Sent Me, Sarah Plays.
That's a new
on
one.
On the go. Yeah. I recently inventoried our video collection and counting the video game based vlogs I've put out that weren't specifically Famicom Dojo branded. We have over 150. It's probably more like 160 if I include all the MAGFest coverage I did for Powit.
Okay.
So and about 14 hours of content. 15? 15 hours of content.
You said 16 before. It's
did I say
down.
16? I thought it was 150 videos in 15 hours, so about 10 minutes a video on average.
I thought you said 16, but you know, either way.
That's still more than I thought that we had done.
It's quite a body of work.
I thought maybe we have six on the outside. No, it's over twice that.
So, I mean, we'll get up to a whole day's worth of content. But actually, if you include our podcast,
oh man, hundreds of hours.
I mean, that's hundreds of
hours. Yeah,
but we do need to make more.
Oh, always more. I mean, but we like you mentioned, we did make a lot over the summer, and I don't know what was your favorite.
Oh man, it's probably not the best one, and it's definitely not the. But like for me, I'd say I was happiest about that. My daughter started a video series that's had a good reception. That wasn't planned when we started Summer Dojo. As you can see, it wasn't in the promo. That one just kind of happened because I'd been recording videos every week, and my daughters pay attention to what I'm doing, and they wanted to try it. You can see they're kind of trying to copy my style a little bit. the Sarah Plays Mario Paint just happened. It was kind of an experiment, and the reception was good, so we did another one, the Sarah Plays Pokemon Stadium. I think the favorite one that I did, like, that I'm proudest of, is probably JRA Pat.
Right. I like that. I like that one.
I think that was really, really neat, and I think it's the most extensive video on that. I mean, as extensive as you can be with the discontinued service.
The other videos were pure garbage, but that one was great.
the one I enjoyed putting together the most, the one that most entertained me, was the food of Tokyo Game Show.
Oh, right? Oh, man.
Which maybe we should have titled it something different, because that's only really half of the video, right? And the second half, which is all the photo. Now, I was just, those photos hadn't been seen before. I don't think even you'd seen most of those photos.
Not in a long time. Like I remember the events in those photos. Yeah, maybe not the exact photos themselves. That's true.
Because those photos are ones I took from my old phone, and I had like, you know, backed it up and put it in like an old hard drive. And when I was looking for something to be the, like, the 30-second like after credits clip. And I was like looking for Tokyo Game Show stuff. And then I found a couple of photos, and then I found a couple more photos. And then, well, please watch the video.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think you overshot it a bit.
I did. Like, the after credits sequence. Yeah, you made me change it, because originally I was going to put the whole thing after the credits, which is longer than the video itself. you made me change, and I think that's wise, because I think some people would have, like, missed out on it. But it brought back a lot of memories. We really need to do Tokyo Game Show again.
It's been 5 years as of this recording, and I was secretly hoping earlier in the year that we get to go again, and that I would just make it happen, because that's sort of how the last time happened was. It's like I had a lot going on. You know, I was going to be a new father in just a few months.
Yep.
I started a new job. I had just gotten back from a small European vacation, and I think BotCon early in the year. So it's like, you know, what's a trip to Japan? And,
well,
yeah.
that's how we work best, when we shouldn't be working at all. Summer Dojo probably came at the one of the most busy times of my life.
Ditto.
It happened during the birth of my new son. Yeah, that's happened since our last podcast.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I just realized that I think the last recorded podcast we had was like son due any week now.
Yep.
But now he's there. So
he came.
That and tons of summer events going on with my job, like right. All kinds of things. I really didn't have any possible time to do this, and neither did you.
Right.
And yet,
what with all the moving.
Like, I made a Sega World video, about a month before Famicom Dojo started in full. And that just happened for like kind of randomly. And then I don't know, I was just hanging out at Famicom Dojo and I recorded some footage and I don't know, I just started putting videos up and keeping somewhat of a weekly schedule, and you had a few things that you were moving over to this channel, were we 3-4 weeks in when we went, we're doing Summer Dojo now.
Yeah, about 4 weeks, and that's kind of the way to do it, I guess, because when we did Winter yeah. Dojo, I mean, it was very planned, but a lot of it was like about 6-month-old material, yep. And then it turned into like 1-year material because it just took that long to get through it all. But very meticulously planned, where this one we just kind of fell backwards into it. And I was actually working on some other like non-dojo videos. Yeah. Like I recorded a new Pepsi video that still hasn't seen the light of day because the audio, as it turns out, was terrible on it. And now that I think about it, I think it was really rambly and not very focused. So I'm just going to have to get more Pepsi and do it over again. But I like what we ended up doing way better than that. So thank you for that.
What's amazing is like we kept making the videos. We had no idea when Summer Dojo was going to end, exactly. And
was the summer of 2016?
Well, we managed to end it by just physically like summer is over. That's how
right.
it ended.
Technically, our final video came out. It was supposed to come out the week summer ended, but it came out the next week. What are you going to do?
Yep. What I think is hilarious about it is we recorded the promo for it about 2 or 3 weeks into it, and then the summer promo the promo video for it actually didn't come out until our 7th video of the Summer Dojo.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Making it the worst possible promo ever, and I like how the sizzle reel came like. came 2 months after that because you forgot to actually activate it.
Yeah, I mean, the sizzle reel was part of the promo, but like it was supposed to be because YouTube has this channel promo feature, right? And apparently, it doesn't work if the video isn't public. If it's just unlisted, it won't get any hits. So it was up for 2 months and got like 0 hits. I'm like, well, this is garbage.
We're such a professional organization.
I know. So
okay, which ones did you like? Which ones did you like, Sean?
The ones I liked are the ones no one watched. I really did like the Super Game Boy one, the Super Game Boy 2 one, I should say.
Lots of people watched that. That's our most popular one.
That was like our data recorder of the Summer Dojo. It didn't get quite as popular, and it's I don't think it's gonna have the same tail that one still has, because that's still our like most watched video on the new channel right now.
Maybe because of the branding.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it does just say Super Game Boy 2 on it without. Well,
yeah, we're experimenting stuff right now. Finding out what's gonna reach hits.
I know you didn't want to name things on the go because you didn't feel like it really has the cachet the other stuff does, but there are some on the go videos that have like 10,000 views.
Right.
So
but they're not real, Sean.
No, they're not. They're not really taking up space on Google's servers anywhere. But the ones I liked the most, because the ones I had the most fun doing, were the Famicom Robot Amiibo one and especially the Doctor Who one. Those like respectively the first and last videos I did new ones that I did for Summer Dojo, because I put some vlogs on the new channel that had previously been on the old one.
Gunsight's a new video.
Gunsight's a new video, but I actually had a lot of reservations about that one because the stuff Mink sent me videos are typically I'm kind of doing the discovery as I film them or just prior to filming them.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was a flaw of the Super Game Boy 2 video, which is why I didn't name it as one of my favorites. I did have fun doing it, but the original cut of that was, I think, 26 minutes long and very rambly. I actually went back. I cut it way down, and I felt like I wasn't explaining things enough. So I actually went back and did some voiceover and did some new video capture, direct from the Super Game Boy, to kind of mask the rambly discovery process that I felt like, right, now that I'm on the other end of this, I can cut all that out and just summarize and then go into the interesting parts that I think are still interesting.
Yeah.
Unlike the Doctor Who one, which I meticulously scripted, which is the only scripted one of the entire Summer Dojo, I think, between either of us.
The promo was
fully okay. Scripted. Yeah, we did fully script the promo. That's true.
And I... scripted. I guess not fully scripted, but about half of the Super Game Boy 2 LAN video was scripted. The only things that weren't scripted were my demos, but the parts that I talked about it through, that was scripted. But I'll tell you what wasn't scripted or even supposed to happen.
Sure.
Dojo Snacks crap systems.
Oh man, I was way off on that one, and I have to publicly apologize to you for that because it's a little long, and this
you're it's long. Cut it down.
And I think I was feeling bad about the Super Game Boy one still too. So I was just no, this will never fly. And then I was completely wrong. It's still our most watched video out of the. I mean, apart from Super Game Boy, it's the one that's getting the most hits right now out of the most, recent five, I think, we have.
Yep. It's almost at 3,000 right now, and,
It's an on-the-go video, too, technically, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. It was never really even intended to be a Famicom Dojo video to begin with. I was making it as... I thought maybe I'd compile them as Dojo Snacks later. But, originally those were just supposed to be some Facebook videos. And I recorded that footage long time ago. Over a year. Oh, maybe 2 years ago.
Oh, really? That wasn't recent? I thought that was recent.
No.
Oh, I had no idea.
Look at the footage. It's before I got my TV... my new TV.
Oh, you tricked me.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I am a time lord.
Right.
I didn't know, originally I was thinking of using some of that footage if I ever did a Hypershot video.
Okay. Yep.
But I remember your video was your video. You were supposed to have the video that week.
Yeah. Many other weeks.
And it was supposed to be one that I don't even know if I want to reveal now because it's still not done.
Right. I'll get to that.
Okay, we'll get to that. But I'm like, oh no, we're going to miss a week, because we were really, sometimes 10 days elapsed between the videos, but we never missed a week this whole Summer Dojo, and we were very proud of that. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to throw this footage together and see if it works. And I remember I said it to you, and you're like, this doesn't work. and I'm like, oh, well, we don't have anything else, so let's put it up anyway.
Yeah.
And it got really good feedback, because basically what it was a let's play.
Yeah. Yeah. But a let's play of garbage systems.
But it was a mixture between Mystery Science Theater 3000 because of how bad the thing was and the commentary in it, and just the systems itself. It turned out really good, but it saddens me a little bit that the ones that we put so very much more work into.
I know, right?
And languish. Food of Tokyo Game Show, I understand that because I wouldn't click on it. So.
Oh, it's so funny, though. We there are still some clips we want to get done that we want to show everyone. And, you know, we've talked about when we do the Kickstarter, this will be one of our incentives. But, like, you know, like, I'm thinking back now, and like I said, the inventory, and some of those videos, like, I think my Mass Effect 3 retrospective, my Mass Effect 3 review for TGS 2011, got like less than 1,000, like less than 800 views at the time, which was crazy because my like Mass Effect speculation video that before that game came out was like 14,000. So I was like, oh, Mass Effect 3 hands-on demo is going to be like a big hit. It was like one of the biggest stinkers of our entire trip to TGS. And like we did like 5 videos, I want to say, while we were there. So it's like, I would edit things on the train on the way back to your sister's place.
I remember that,
And like we'd record podcasts every night, and we put out a lot of content while we were there. And then like one or two videos after I got back to the States, and then like one a month later, and then two or three more like in January. And it's like none of them did very well, unfortunately. And I don't know why that is, because they were so cool. I don't know.
I guess. I mean, I think one of the problems was this: by the time your TGS hands-on impressions thing happened, like, people had already had hands-on impressions from other trade shows.
Like E3.
You know. Yeah, like E3.
Yeah.
And like, no one was going, man, I wonder what Mass Effect 3 was like in another country.
Yeah, you know, but they didn't hear it from me.
That's true. Maybe your impressions video is like, this guy's not going to be objective.
this was still, yeah, I think you had the camera turning on me when I was actually playing it, and then you're like, Sean's still playing. It's half an hour later. I don't think he knows how long he's been there.
Oh, man, I was so bored.
Oh. All right, that should have been my first hint. But it's just funny to me because that was still on the Sean Orange channel at the time, and like I had some really popular Mass Effect videos on there, so I was sure this would be a big hit, and it just wasn't.
Well, I mean, you never really know. You never know what's going to be a big hit either. Like going through some of our videos, I'd say there's a correlation. Like, if we don't work on a video very much, it's probably, and we just kind of randomly put one out, it's going to be pretty good. It's going to get good hits. If we work on a video a medium amount of work, it's going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
But if we spend months and months working on a video, it'll be one of our evergreens.
Yeah, right. Like so, Data Recorder is definitely in that category, because at least the footage from my half, at least most of it, because I recorded some pickups later, but the footage from my half was like a year and a half old at the time it actually made it out the door. So we spent a lot of time on that one. We scripted that one heavily. We thought about editing it down more because it was over 20 minutes, and that was our first 20-plus minute video we ever put out.
Yep.
Especially like a highly produced one. So we're like, oh, people are even going to watch the whole thing? And a lot of people don't watch the whole thing, but they still watch a lot of it. And it's still one of the most popular ones that we have. Like it's in the top 20 now, I think.
Nice.
Of our all-time videos. It's pretty awesome. So, all right. Well, before getting to questions, I guess I have one last bit of news. We joined Screenwave Media, and that happened right at the tail end of the Summer Dojo.
Yep. And probably by the time this podcast comes out, we'll still be members of it.
Oh.
Nope. I don't know. I hate it. I hate announcing new things because sometimes we have to retract them later.
Well, we have a full month under our belts. It's pretty good. I also went to the Nerd and Tie Expo, the first one, put on by the Nerd and Tie podcast. I actually put their live show in our feed because I'm in it chuckling in the background, but also come up to the stage and say a few words because I got inaugurated into the Hall of Awesome. And to find out what that is, you'll just have to listen to the podcast. But I was a guest at this convention along with Linkar from Atop the Fourth Wall and that guy with the glasses fame. Voice actress Tiffany Grant, who is we go back with a long way.
we have so many stories.
And cosplayer and costume designer and model Helena Steele, who's super awesome.
Cool.
So we all got to hang out, and that was awesome. And Linkara and I did a panel about how not to make it on YouTube, which at the time was just about me and how I'm not as famous as someone like Linkara. But then Trey comes to me and is like, hey, can Linkara do that panel with you? And I'm like, okay, but he's kind of way more popular than I am. It was actually a really good panel, though. He had a lot of great advice, and he's also part of ScreenWave.
Was
that recorded? No, it wasn't, unfortunately.
Dang it!
I know. I didn't know how he'd feel about it, and I literally had no time to ask him. So,
well, we did record the panel we did at Nerd and Tie. Is that gone in our feed yet?
Yep, that'll be next week's new episode. So we did record one before this one, but it's going to come out after this one. So yeah, we had one in the tank still from that was supposed to come out during the Summer Dojo, but ended up being way too much work. So that's the big reason that we didn't even update the feed since about July, because I was at least trying to put reruns in and then promos of the new videos, and that just became too much work and didn't seem like it was getting us a whole lot. But then I dumped them all in about a week before this one came out, and that actually did give us quite a spike. So what are you going to do now that summer is over? Everyone wants to relive the memories, I guess.
Indeed.
Okay.
And I think we'll talk more about the individual videos we made later, but my question to people who are listening to this podcast, please respond. Which one did you like? I would love to hear from the fans which ones you guys appreciated, because just general random clickers, you know, maybe like things that are different from, like, which ones resonated with you? Which ones do you think we should do more of? We're always looking for that kind of feedback.
Yeah, because even though Super Game Boy 2 was really well watched, I don't know how well it was received, right? Like, how did people feel about it when it was done? I know one of the things that I was embarrassed about was because it was a Stuff Inc. sent me video, and the whole process of discovery part of that, I totally missed a fact about that, which Vink picked up for me in the subsequent video. But still, it's like I wish we could have made a definitive one right off the bat in retrospect. But
all right.
Okay.
Shall we get into the questions then?
Yes. So we do have a backlog of questions from before we went on hiatus. We will not get to those this week. We just have the ones we asked about prior to the show, and then we will start compiling our list. There are people who have been waiting patiently for many, many moons who have called in or sent us messages via Facebook and whatnot. And we will get to you, I promise, just not this episode.
Coming soon.
If you have a question for Famicom Denshi Mail, or just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can contact us on Facebook and Twitter, leave a comment on one of our videos, email us at denshimail or podcast@famicomdojo.tv, or leave a voicemail at 608-492-1923, and we'll play your clip on the show.
Let's go for the first one. Okay. Let's see. Furquin C. Root?
That is not the first one I have.
Nope, it's the last one, but I think it's relevant.
Oh, okay.
All right. Have you guys really been off since July? Or has your feed been changed or something? My iTunes hasn't auto-downloaded a new podcast from you guys in forever.
Right.
Well,
I mean, I basically did just answer that a minute ago.
Yep, but here's what we got to worry about right now.
Yes.
Famicom Dojo is not being automatically pushed to people's feeds now, because we've been off for so long. Right. So, if you're listening to us right now, thank you very much. When you see one of our updates about a new podcast episode coming up, if you could do us a big solid and share that, because I think a lot of people who maybe think that we just stopped podcasting, some of our subscribers might not be aware that we're back. So, yeah.
I mean, can I blame iOS 10, or is it it's my fault, isn't it?
No, this is a Sean OS 2 problem.
OS 2 bad, more like.
OS 2 bad. All right. You can read any one you want. We can go
all
in
right.
Random order.
I'm going in just reverse order now. Derek Schoenberg asks if we could talk about how awesome he is. And yes, Derek, I would like to talk about that.
Derek, you are so awesome.
Derek, keep being awesome, even though you are from Canada. I know it must be hard for you.
If you were a pineapple, you would be an awesome pineapple.
Oh, so many of our listeners must be Canadian, though. I feel bad all of a sudden. We've been giving him a hard time just because we worked that into the our cameo appearance on the Stupid Video Games episode 4.
Yep. Sean, why is it that whenever we cameo on someone else's podcast and or show, we play heel characters when in reality, we're quite nice guys?
I mean, it's all about keeping the mystique alive. Like, even when we have cameos of people on our show, we're still jerks to them. Unless it's Sindra, in which case we make her be a jerk to us for being jerks to other people. It's really like a karmic retribution type thing. Although she has requested that we since do not typecast her that way anymore.
Yes. I think, because we are jerks. If you have not seen
really
Derek's... If you have not seen Derek's videos, what you should search for is Stupid Video Games YouTube channel. Unfortunately, if you type that, it's new and not a lot of hits, so you'll get a million videos before that. So here's what you should type. You should type Stupid Derek.
Does that even work? Let's try that.
Yes. Yeah, let's try it right now. I think it'll be the number one search for Stupid Derek. Give it a go.
Nope. Derek calls the baby stupid. Styles and Derek the stupid and proud. Derek and Elena the stupid. Derek and Clive. Thomas the stupid tank engine episode 1. James and Derek.
All right. Type stupid video games Derek.
I want to do it without the Derek.
I don't.
Oh. Yeah, stupid video games doesn't bring him up either, so Derek...
Derek, stupid video.
Yeah, all right. Episode our promo comes up before his video. And I think it's because our promo has slightly more hits, just slightly. He does have episode 5 up now, which is it is amazing. Like he has so much pressure to top that last one. It's like, how am I going to do it? And he did it.
He did it. Oh my goodness! I was like, there's this scene in. If you haven't seen these yet, and even if you're not interested in a new channel per se, but you do like the antics of Sean and I, you should watch episode 4. But there's this scene in it where there's this Famicom monster, and it just you know what? I'm not even. It's Sean. It is better than anything you and I have ever
done. I know. It's like
right there.
He showed us that before we did our cameo, and I'm just like, uh-oh.
Yes. Yep. I'm like, oh man, people are gonna compare it to us now. We're gonna have to up the ante a little bit. And then I'm like, okay. But he put at the end, like, there's no way I'm gonna ever be able to top that. And part of me was like, oh, that's good because if all of your videos are like this, you know, I mean, and he. Totally topped it in the next episode. Just a spot on Zelda. It's just actually don't watch it, everyone, because
it's too good.
Because because if you watch that and like go back to our field and go, I'm gonna click on this Food of Tokyo Game Show video, you know, it really puts us in a bad light.
I like that video. All right, if you put in Derek S, there are 3 channels that come up. His is the first one.
All right. Okay. That's what you...
Derek S. is in Schoenberg.
Derek, I apologize for saying the thing that starts for Derek Stupid. Anyway.
I really like the fans writing to his show, such as the Zax is on.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say, like, it's my favorite video game show on YouTube right now.
Right?
So.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And we have... Yeah, them's fighting. there we do have small unannounced cameos in episode 5 as well. Very small. Very unannounced.
They will take you by surprise.
Yeah. And I don't know. I have no idea how we're going to collaborate in the future, but I hope to be part of it because I want to ride this gravy train to fortune. So,
oh, baby. He also has a Halloween episode coming out that, as of yet, we are not involved with. So if you're sick of seeing us in his videos, now's yes. your chance. All right, you're next.
All right. Blaine writes in, do you guys still have that call-in voicemail line?
Right. I answered immediately with the phone number, and no one called it. So, wah, wah.
You know what would have been funnier? Blaine, you should have called our number and said that same question.
There's still time.
Do you guys still have that call-in voicemail line that you're calling in? Oh, that would be wonderful. But no, we've still got it. It is 608-492-1923, and mm-hmm. it's free if you call from work.
I don't want to get anyone fired.
Sorry. Oh. That was the dial-a-song message that They Might Be Giants used to always do. Free if you call from work.
Nice.
All right.
Next.
Your turn.
Yeah, my turn. Adam Robinson asks, has Vink gotten Lego Dimensions yet? And if so, which sets? Plural, as you can see there. You have not. But my plan is when you are in the States that I will make you buy a copy.
Well, I've got news for you. I don't have any money.
Oh.
But if your plan edited ever so slightly to I will buy you those sets, then I think we got something going there.
All right, I might gift you a set, but you're going to have to get the base on your own.
All right. All right, to go to the GoFundMe for Vink getting Lego Dimensions. I'm not going to do that. But just getting to the States this time is kind of maxing me out. So, we'll be recording some video in the same time zone
again since two years ago.
Not sure what exactly. And if you guys have any suggestions for that, love to hear it.
Yeah,
we're gonna basically have maybe, I don't know, 6-7 hours together. So it's not going to be a great deal of time, but if you have any ideas for something that you'd like, it would be really cool if Vink and Sean did this, and it's... I just realized how dirty this almost sounds. So.
Well, I mean, the last one did end on a very weird note.
Yes,
it did. And it began on a very... You know, the whole thing was just weird, but Don't Blow It was pretty epic.
It had some moments. But anyway,
that was my favorite one to work on of the Winter Dojo.
Was
just
so
editing
fun.
That. Like the Vink running back to his house montage bits. Like you know, I thought of it. Like, you know, it'll be a little funny, but like actually working on it, and like getting like the music working, and I was just like, oh no, this is. I literally laughed out loud for 5 minutes straight, just watching it over and over again.
I had moments like that editing the TGS video. I actually woke up my kids, and my wife was like, "What's so funny?" And I'm like, "Look, it looks like Sean's eating Oscar."
Me, I'm hilarious.
And my wife's like, "Yes." The lost child video. Image.
My favorite one was, this is Sean. He writes Transformers fanfic.
Oh, yes.
You're like, I'm sorry this video makes fun of you so much. And I'm like, no, more.
Yes. Oh, man.
All right, your turn.
All right. Let's see. But I should answer. If I did get Lego Dimensions, the sets that I would get are Back to the Future and Doctor Who.
Okay, noted.
Okay. Let's see. Miguel writes, do you guys have a list of top Famicom games that didn't come over to America? Oh, man, we should really make a list. I mean, I've got a few off the top of my head.
All right.
But, like, there's too many. There's just too many. I keep discovering new ones.
I'll make it easy.
Yeah.
I'll make it easy. Just go to Jiwario's channel and, like, write down the titles of every episode, and there you go.
But the thing is, there's so many more than that. I would say I could think of 100
top,
just on
the top.
Famicom.
How about the top 20? I don't know.
He covered a lot of them, but much like what we do, he basically covered the things he was able to acquire, you know.
Right.
And some of them are quite expensive. Just off the top of my head, I would say Salamander. Well, it kind of came over as Life Force, but the original Salamander is pretty amazing. Holy Diver is
really good.
That's
crazy. It's exactly what you think it is, just by that title,
by the
way.
It's really, exactly. really good. I talked about that on another show. Let's see. Joy Mech Fight, one of the best fighter on the Famicom, bar none. And it had the most number of fighters of any game at the time, and 50 frames a second. Really, really good. Mm. I talked about that in another episode as well. I guess for the question, it would be like, there's tons of really good games that didn't come over to America, like, you know, Fire Emblem series, things like that, that were great. But I think maybe the question is, like, what didn't come over that you can play without speaking Japanese? And there's still tons of them. Some didn't come over for licensing reasons. Some of them didn't come over for all kinds of different things. You know what? That would be a good show by itself. Maybe I'll stop talking about it right now. Because that would be a good episode right there. We can each make lists of our favorites. Okay. Take the next one, Sean.
This is from, I think this is all one question based on how this is formatted, but from
yes, it is.
Hjalmar Ekström. Man, I don't know how to pronounce your name. I'm sorry, Ekström. Like, the umlauts are throwing me off here. So it says, okay. Hi there. I was curious about your opinions on the esport and its status among other sports. The Counter-Strike Legend is participating in a game show for Swedish sport profiles, and there has been some debate about this in Sweden. So he gives a link. I believe there is also educational programs in Sweden that specialize in esports. What do you think about the development with gaming achieving similar status as traditional sports in society?
Well, he writes, when will Tetris become an Olympic discipline?
Right.
First of all, thank you so much for those links. Those were really, really interesting articles. I didn't realize how things were with gaming in Sweden and especially esports. I will say that I don't really watch esports very much. Maybe I am from a different generation, but strangely enough, things like esports type things, Let's Play type things, already my daughter's kind of interested in that stuff. Like, it might just be, I don't know. For me, esports used to be going down to the arcade and that one kid who was playing all day for a quarter, you know.
Right.
That was my esports. And, I don't know. I think if I lived in the U.S. right now and I could attend things live, I think I might really like it. But, like, I never really got into, like, watching, I don't know, Twitch streams or anything like that. But what's the take compared to other sports?
Well Evo was a big, big deal. Like, it's a big deal. So
Yeah. I know. It's definitely huge.
There were two other things that dominated my Facebook feed this last summer. 22 push-up challenge and Evo. Sometimes at the same time, because one of the people who did it on my feed was also like, oh, yeah, I'm taking a break from Evo to do this.
I don't know. I never really liked the whole term esports. I think it's just because, like, for me, like, video games were the alternative to sports. You know what I mean? I could not play sports, so I played video games. I'm not a purist. Because I'm not good at video games either.
Oh no!
but like, it seemed like I don't know if we really want to equate them to sports, because I think there's something different. I think putting things into a sports mentality is maybe the wrong way to do it. I think it's more of an art or a skill or something like that. It should be more of a performance or, you know, a test of, I don't know. It, I guess it's sports in the way that it is a competition, but I don't know if that branding is maybe the way it should be going. I think it's something different. We should just rename it Video Armageddon, like it was called in The Wizard, because yeah. That was the best. That's the best esports scene in film.
Oh man, yeah, you are from a different generation. Like I know, I don't watch Twitch streams really either, but I kind of understand the appeal because there's definitely a lot there, like to watch someone doing sequence breaking, like in Super Metroid, for instance. Which, hey, yeah. by the way, we should probably finish a video about that sometime.
I'll have to talk to the old man.
but like there are some younger guys at where I work now who are coming in like just out of college, and like there's this one who's particularly yep. fond of Smash Brothers Melee, and he knows yep. everything about like the whole like buffering inputs and how the frames work. And just like stuff that I'm familiar with from my days dabbling my toe and fingers into the Soul Calibur fighting community. And shout out to you, Jimmy, for being able to actually do a just frame impact with relative consistency, because you can actually see the friggin' frames. But like that gets to a point of skill that is quite a bit, I think, like professional sports or professional anything really. Like you devote so much time to perfecting the kinds of games that can be done that way. Like fighting games are a good example, you know, or StarCraft strategy, like the whole 10 spawn. Oh, what's the actual name for that? The thing we can like spawn 10 Zerg in the time it takes to do 9, because you can exploit the fact that you can cancel a building being built or whatever. Like strategies like that, that, you know, if you play someone on Battle.net, you'd tear your hair out. But because like, I just want to have fun. Okay. You know, it's like if people stop playing baseball or football or soccer because they're never going to be professional sports players, probably after high school. But, you know, before their dreams are crushed by the real world, they have a lot of fun.
You know what? I'll go with that. That's actually a pretty good way of saying it. And I will say that back in the day, during the Blockbuster Video Game Championships, I was in the top 10 of my region. So
all right, right on.
So like, but the thing is, that was you know, that was weird, because the early rounds of that were just you were basically timed and your score was kept or whatever. You didn't even see your opponents. Very, right. Very different. But yeah, I enjoyed watching the feed of the Nintendo World Championships, actually.
Right on.
Did I lose you?
No.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm all nodding, right. Yes.
No, but when will Tetris become an Olympic discipline? Oh, you know what? If dressage and ballroom dancing are Olympic events, pretty soon. Right. Pretty soon. Pretty soon.
All right.
I mean, dressage.
I know.
Horse dancing.
I know.
Sorry, if you are a horse listening to this podcast, no offense. I've had many friends who were horses.
Of course.
And they were great people.
Of course. all right, your turn.
All right. Okay, Yakov writes in. So is the Famicom Mini controllers too small for Western hands, and what is the best way of getting them in the U.S.? Okay, I'll answer the first part. Are the Famicom controllers too small for Western hands? No, they're too small for human hands. but actually, I was thinking about this the other day, because I saw I haven't actually been able to have one. None of the game stores in my town have actual kiosks for the system yet. But if you look at our video on crap video game systems, you will see the one for Game Poke. That is the third system I reviewed, the very small little one that did like Tetris and stuff. And I would say that is slightly smaller, or about the same size as the Famicom Mini controllers. And it was very playable.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering how that's going to translate, because I could have sworn I've seen some photos of the NES Mini next to an actual NES, and the controllers were the same size. But I guess in the case of the Famicom, that has to still stow.
They've got to clip onto the side. Yeah.
They've
got to still clip onto the side.
Boy, that is a feature that I probably could have done without. I'm just saying, yep. Nintendo. Nintendo, I know you're listening, and it's probably too late because you're already in production.
Yeah.
But when you do the AV Famicom Mini,
yes.
Do us a favor.
Go for a full size dog bone controller. But we never even talked about this system. Maybe
it's because we didn't do a podcast since then. Yeah. We haven't talked about Pokemon Go yet. That's next week, don't worry. But
And don't worry. Luckily, there's been no news whatsoever on the Nintendo NX, so we didn't miss it. And hopefully by saying that, it'll mean that something will be announced before this podcast.
God, I hope so.
Because Nintendo, seriously. I read a great Twitter comment because there's nothing. Just radio silence. I read a really great Twitter comment because people are going nuts about this, trying to get anything. So all these crazy rumors are coming out just so people have like a scrap of things to hold on to. And someone wrote, maybe it's like a Groundhog Day situation where we have to experience a perfect day first before all the events work out that we get some Nintendo NX news.
Oh, jeez.
Just ridiculous. But as the best way of getting one in the U.S., I'm not entirely sure. I'm gonna get one for myself. I'm gonna try to get one for Sean. But like beyond that, I don't even know if I can acquire more of them. At least at first,
right.
Because already they're selling out lots of places.
Yeah,
and I believe all pre-orders for the NES Mini are also sold out.
Are they? I didn't. Oh boy, I'm screwed then.
Well, I mean, I really think that if Nintendo is smart, oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let me try again.
Moving on.
Assuming Nintendo is smart, this is the thing they're going to want to have tons of for Christmas, you know, because they have no new hardware and right. no new games.
Right. The old ones are making tons of money still. Think Mario of how many Colors... times you can buy NES Remix.
Yep. Mario Color Splash came out, what, a couple weeks ago? And then the next Wii U title from Nintendo is Zelda in March.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Which will be on the NX also.
Yes. So, well, anyway. I mean, for people who have a ridiculously large backlogs, it's not such a problem. But, man, if you are... I don't know. Okay, anyway. So the best way to get them probably, I'd say the best way to get it really is to wait about a month after it's out. And I think they'll be pretty common, hopefully. Unless it's another Amiibo situation. Nintendo, this is on you.
Right.
Maybe I shouldn't recommend anything. Maybe spend a ton, but already like people are scalping these things, so it's not even out yet. So
who's going to be interested in emulation of 30-year-old games on a console you can't even upgrade or put new games on?
Me.
Everyone, as it turns out. Yeah,
everyone.
Okay.
It comes down to about $2 a game for games that are just fantastic, and some of them are very expensive these days too.
So, true. Yeah, if you can get this thing for the $60 it's supposed to retail for,
yeah,
you're getting a good deal.
Like for example, in the NES one, just a copy of Super Contra alone is about the price of that just for the cart.
Yep.
So I mean, there's a good deal to be had there. Oh, and I love that. Well, maybe not love, but. It's interesting that there's slightly different game selections between regions on this thing.
Right. Like even the games that are the same aren't the same, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. I still can't believe Dragon Quest isn't on the Famicom Mini. Blows my mind.
I was just thinking, like, you know, going back to the Evo thing too, like how Dragon Warrior is probably not the kind of game you really want to see someone play competitively. Or, you know, nope. What do I know? Maybe there are shortcuts around everything. What do I know?
Okay. Okay, last one. Elijah Clark. Oh,
yeah.
Well, no.
Go for it. That's...
Oh, no. Oh, sorry. We got two more. Sorry. Okay, second to last one. Stephen McKenzie writes, what are your guys' thoughts and feelings on Famicom/NES multi-carts, including the EverDrives? I'm waiting for my first Famicom multi-cart I ordered with Castlevania 1 and 2 and Mega Man 1 through 6 to arrive at my door. I just can't afford the Mega Man games, so I'm trying this route. It's a complicated question.
I mean, it'd be hypocritical of me, I think, because we just phrase the NES and Famicom minions, but I'm going to totally trash this because they're not licensed, right? The creators aren't getting any money for this.
Yeah. I really think, I understand the desire to play video games on original hardware. I think that's a very strong desire. And I don't really have any problem with an EverDrive specifically, as long as it's matched with a Retrode. Because I have hundreds and hundreds of carts back here, and you know, being able to rip them on something, the Game Freak is really great for that. Have you heard of this?
Oh yeah.
It's kind of like Japan's take on the Retron 5, and it's better because it has Turbo Graphics as well, and you know, PC Engine, and it allows you to save them onto the system. I don't have one yet, but it sounds amazing, and that's probably what I'm going to do to kind of back up my collection. But buying a multi-cart with Mega Man 1 through 6, there's legal other ways to do the Mega Man series that are pretty good. And then you actually send a message to the manufacturer that... Because, I know it's like a two-edged sword because, you know, you can feel like, well, Capcom has abandoned Mega Man, so, you know... It shouldn't matter if I you know, pirate this. But on the other hand, if that attitude comes forward, it's pretty obvious why Capcom has abandoned Mega Man, you know. I don't know. It's a hard one because I do want everyone to be able to experience these classic games. I really, really do. And I think a lot of the fault is that we have methods these days where they could be, you know, released as collections with like for example the NES Mini and things like that, and the companies are kind of dragging their feet on that. Virtual Console has not lived up to its potential. If Virtual Console really had perfect emulation of these games for $5 each, which I think Mega Man might actually.
I think all the Mega Man games are out, I believe, including the X games, at least the Super Nintendo ones.
Yeah. Or frankly, I mean, this is a pipe dream right now, but have you noticed there's new Famicom carts coming out recently?
Have you noticed? Yeah, this? I mean, there's like the Retrobit ones for NES, I know, or something like that.
No. I mean, there's new games being produced in Japan. There was a platformer released, Twinkle something, I can't remember. And a few months ago, the Famicom Game Music, which was basically an album to cartridge, released in Japan. These are new boxed released games for the Famicom, and they're selling very well. Selling out, you know, and it leads me to wonder if there might actually be a market for like Capcom to go, you know what, we're going to release 1,000 of these 1,000 licensed multi-carts. I don't know, again, pipe dream, because there might not be that many people who are like me, you know, but I'd buy it.
Yeah, there are some fans who send us their multi-cart purposes, yeah. Purchases. And it's like, I get it. And you even reviewed one for the Summer Dojo.
Did I?
A pirate multi-cart.
Oh, yeah.
Which has Super Punch on it because it never came out for Super Famicom.
So yeah, I mean,
not in a public purchasable way though. So yeah, I agree with your criticism of the Virtual Console. That's definitely valid. You know, wanting to save money. Yeah. On the other hand, like I'm getting to the point where I want to get that little nub that'll mimic any Famicom Disk System game. Not because I don't think that you know we shouldn't support like used video game stores, but just because over time those discs are just going to die and they're fickle, yeah. And the drives, yeah, are very difficult to deal with. And if you want to play those games the way they're intended, or at least the way they were designed, short of, yeah, having something like a Wii or a Wii U virtual console available, which, you know, #end region locking, difficult to do also, yeah, you know, that's something I'm interested in if no other reason than to get good video.
Yeah.
You know.
I would say that legally it's very clear on where multi-carts stand. You know, they are not legal, but is something that the companies will probably not prosecute. Everdrives, those are totally legal. But what you put on, but like, much like owning a gun is legal. You know, it depends what you do with it. Did okay, hold on. Let me take that back. Let's record a different one. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. Much like buying a pack of matches is legal, it depends more on what you do with,
right,
them. You know, I don't know. I keep going back and forth on this because I enjoy the idea of like pirate cartridges, you know, things like that, especially the ones that are like games like Final Fantasy X was ported to the Famicom by Chinese programmers.
Mm.
And it's amazing. Like, it's amazing. It's, you know, they clearly don't have the blessing of Square or Nintendo or anybody, you know, involved, you know, but the fact that it, you know, that a D-make or something like that can be made, like,
yeah, D-makes are different though, because it's made in it's a pastiche, you know? It's like a game made, yeah, in the style of a console it was never made for. So it's original in that it's no one had coded this before.
It's true, but you see, that's where it all comes down to gray area, and morality is another thing, because like legality, ethics, morality, I'm not going to say what one should do, because everyone's got their own opinions on things, and I say that, like, I'm not going to criticize you for buying a Mega Man or Castlevania multicart. Those are some of the best games ever made. They are, but I hope that if you really truly enjoy them, you'll find some way to acquire them in the future, where the developer can receive some. But you know what? You go to a used game store, you buy a copy of Mega Man 2. The developer's not getting any money.
That's true. That's true.
It's, you know, I keep wrapping myself in circles, so I'm going to say that I am 100% sure that it is totally okay and wrong to do. I don't know. Sean, save me here. Save me.
Let's move on to the next question.
Okay, yeah, let's move on.
Yes, let me read this from Elijah Clark. I'm thinking about purchasing a Sega Dreamcast soon. I was wondering what games I should get. I plan to get Shenmue, Sonic Adventure, and Jet Grand Radio, but I thought perhaps you guys could suggest some games. Well, that's a great start, honestly.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Maybe Sonic Adventure 2 more than Sonic Adventure 1.
I don't know. I think because of the low price of Sonic Adventure, the original one, it's definitely worth getting, just because...
Sure.
It's kind of a classic. But yeah, I would say Sonic Adventure 2 I had more fun with.
Power Stone's not bad if you want something kind of like Smash Brothers.
Power Stone is wonderful. Let's see. I mean, some of the games I really loved, like Phantasy Star Online, you'd have to do some jiggery-pokery to get it to work these days. You can, though. People have set up private servers, but let's see. What did I love? If you like fighters, any of the Capcom versus series is fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
Capcom versus SNK, Marvel versus Capcom, things like that. Wonderful, wonderful ports to the Dreamcast. Basically, anything that started out as a Naomi arcade game would get an amazing port coming back. So things like Crazy Taxi doesn't have a ton of depth, but if you want a pure arcade racer, it's fantastic. I love Space Channel 5.
Oh yeah, yep.
But your mileage will vary on that one. Okay, say the one you're going to say, Sean.
Grandia 2. Wait, what?
Oh, I didn't. Grandia 2 is a great choice, but that's not the one I expected you to say.
Wow. Well, Grandia 2, it was one of the first RPGs that, like, I really, really enjoyed playing. And I think it's because of the active battle system was a big part of it, but also the story. Like, you know, I'd played a lot of RPGs before, but, yeah. You know, they're always about this, like, grandiose world-saving plot types of things. And this does end up there, but... Yeah. But it starts out really, really small, and I liked that about it. It really pulls you into the world that it's trying to create. And then by the time it does get so grandiose and big, you kind of don't care anymore because you're just having so much fun. So if that's like a turn off for you, then this game kind of circumvents that. The other parts too is that there really isn't grinding to speak of, and that's kind of like why I like the BioWare games, because like basically if you just play and do everything that you can, then you get as high as you need to go, essentially. So there are critters on the overworld, as it were, and you can avoid them because you can see them. There's no random spawning you have to worry about. Or you can go into an area and clear it out if you so desire.
Yeah. I want to replay Grandia 2 now. I've got it here with me. Maybe I will. That Grandia 2... I bought it not having played the first Grandia. That and Skies of Arcadia, I was like, wow, what great RPGs, because I never really got into PlayStation RPGs so much, except for like working design stuff. I love game arts, actually. I really, really love game art. So, Grandia 2 was wonderful. Here's a kind of out of left field, and I don't know if you'll enjoy it or not, but the Evolution series, randomly created dungeons. The story is garbage. It is. But, like, the ability to, you know, change all kinds of gear around, the fact that items can break and things like that. I don't know. I was waiting for the real RPGs to come, so I picked up the first Evolution game, and I had a lot of fun with it. I don't know if I could have played it now, but at the time, I quite enjoyed it.
You thought I was going to say Samba de Amigo, didn't you?
Yeah, because I gave you the lead-in with
I
the
will
Space
not, Channel 5. I will not recommend that game to anyone.
What?
And if for no other reason, it's just because getting working maracas... 16 years later is virtually impossible or very cost prohibitive.
I get it.
And once you do get them, they are not very good for very long.
I get it. I understand.
It is not worth playing without the maracas. It's like you can play with a Dreamcast controller where you, it's an 8-way, it's an 8-way controller, right? But then you only need 6 positions. I cannot, for the life of me, understand how to play it. But like, you know, unless you have the full body motion, it's just no fun to me. Whatsoever, and I think my set's starting to die already. Like I recently pulled the game out for my kids to play because they've seen the boxes laying around. They're very curious, so they don't play it themselves, but they watch me play, and it's a lot of fun. But they're already starting to go, and it's like I don't know why they start to fail. Like maybe I need to like talk to Ben Heck and be like, what is wrong with these things? They're just ultrasound devices. Why? Oh, I should just talk to Ben Heck.
No, don't talk to him about it. He's just going to cut it open and put an Atari in something.
I want to talk to him anyway because I have some ideas for something else.
All right. I've heard these ideas.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Dreamcast is just so great. There's so many great shooters. If you go into imports, there's tons of amazing, vertical and horizontal shooting games. What was I just going to recommend? Oh, there's Rez.
Oh yeah.
Rez.
But you can get Rez on more modern consoles and an HD and you know.
That's true. But like, I don't know. Dreamcast really holds a really, really special place in my heart. I cannot believe that it was only really on the market for like under 2 years. And yet it has a way more extensive library than something like the Wii U. Which I also love.
Oh boy.
You know what?
I don't even want to. No.
I love systems that people consider failures.
Let's just end the podcast now. That could be a whole other topic.
All right. So those are some games we suggest. There's so many more. Dreamcast. Great system. Rockin' Lady Day. You know, I guess that is where we end today. Yes.
Yeah. I do want to tease that we did record some videos as Vink mentioned earlier that we did not release for one reason or another, but they will come out eventually. We are planning our next spate of videos slowly but surely. We have some other business we got to take care of first. So please look out for that in the future. We'll keep doing podcasts in the meantime. If you were not at the Nerd and Tie Expo, please listen to the Nerd and Tie episode 82, which is in our feed, or just look at their feed and listen to their show. Very awesome stuff. Shout out again to my co-guests at Nerd and Tie, Linkara and Helena Steele and Tiffany Grant. I totally paused on her name.
Oh man,
I know, we had so much fun, and Vega too, so
yeah,
you were cool. Totally lost steam there, sorry.
Shout outs to stupid Derek.
Yeah, and Derek too. Also I did a drunk cast with the unapologetic geek out, otherwise known as the UGO podcast. Yeah, that's on their feed. I didn't want to put it on ours because it's both explicit and mildly inappropriate. But you can go to theirs. And
Sean.
Is that going staticky on you?
No.
Okay. They've asked both of us to return. By the way, they've asked to see if you want to be on the show, and we will probably be doing that relatively soon, or at least I will, depending on what Ving's schedule looks like. But
all right, wow,
yeah.
Yay!
Fun. They're also a Wisconsin-based podcast out of Green Bay, so I could even possibly drop by, personally, maybe.
Yeah.
But. Any hoozle, that's all the shout-outs I wanted to give.
I'll give a shout-out to... No. I did all this myself. No, there's so many shout-outs, but I think we've covered so much ground I'd never be able to... I feel I would miss too many people's names. So as we go through the individual videos later on, I'll try to call people by name. But you know what? Big shout out to my kids, actually.
Oh, definitely.
I have to say that, like, as I get busier and busier, I record less and less of just, you know, basically I only cover like big things like birthday parties on camera, but like these videos are going to be like them seeing what they were like when they were kids, when they grow up, because it's some of the only real archives I've got. So I'm sorry, kids.
Oh no. Hey, I just had an idea. Could we start the next set of dojo videos with a VinCon?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think so.
Maybe. I don't want to promise anything.
So Winter Dojo it is. Sean just promised it.
Oh god. That's so soon.
All right, Sean. Well, we've got a couple months to get this thing thrown together, so.
All right. Time to hibernate.
Yep.
All right. Cool.
All right.
Well, it's good to be back on the podcast, everyone, and thank you all for listening. Until the next time, the dojo is?
Full of dust from not having been used in so long. We're sweeping it out, and allergy. And if there's no podcast next week, it's because of all the allergies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just don't blow it, okay?
Don't blow it.
Famicom Dojo.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our theme songs, Famicom Thrash and RPG, were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and at amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at lewistrations.co.uk. Find us at famicomdojo.tv/podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. And, of course, head over to littlepodcast.com to listen to other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.